This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I want to thank everybody for joining us for this two-hour weekend edition on the heels of the PDAC conference in Toronto, typically the largest resource conference in the world. I unfortunately was unable to attend this year just because of having a pregnant wife and recently just moved. But in the first couple segments, we're going to get a recap of the show. I have a few interviews scheduled for next week for more people to continue to recap what they heard on the floor and what maybe some of the standout stories were, as well as some of the topics that people were chatting about. In the first two segments of the show, I am chatting with John Kaiser, founder of Kaiser Research. And John, you were at PDAC all 3.5 days. First and foremost, what was your takeaway from the attendance? The stats that I've read are about 24,000, which is a slight increase from last year.
Well, Corey, before I get into that, I'll put a little counterpoint to you not being able to come, go to PDAC. I was able to come, but I was pretty nervous the whole time because I'm about to become a grandfather myself, and the due date was before I left, but the baby decided not to arrive yet, so I was able to go to PDAC and take in everything, and we'll find out in the next few days when the baby does arrive. So PDAC looked very busy. The exhibit hall felt very busy, lots of traffic. You had to actually navigate around people, but there was sort of a dearth of investors, you know, retail investors. In my talk I gave on Sunday morning in the newsletter session, it was at a pretty good time, quarter to 11. Plenty of time for people to get there. It was like just a three-quarter full audience. And I would say last year I had a fuller audience, and I don't think it was because I was more popular last year. I think there's just less interest in this sector. So they estimate maybe 24,000 people, which is supposedly a little bit more than the 23,000 last year, but still well below the 30,000 delegates that showed up a couple years in a row, I think in 2010, 2011 before, you know, when we had that rebound after the meltdown in 2008 and everything was still chugging forward. So my sense was that, there was a distinct subdued mood at the PDAC, and the feedback I got from companies was, nobody's raising any money, and there weren't really like investors looking around, where can I put the money? And it's evident that there's not been a lot of financings announced. As we talked a couple of weeks ago in January, the top 10 traders on the venture exchange were all cannabis stocks, $3.8 billion worth of cannabis stock traded. And the money has been going more into these non-resource sector. So there was this sense that on the one hand, kind of feels like March 2000 when the dot-com bubble was climaxing. But there's also a sense like unlike back then, it's our turn. It's the resource sector's turn. But they look at the media during the PDAC week. We had Donald Trump do all this tariff stuff. We had Gary Cohn resign. That caused pretty big volatility in the market. There's a sense that we're not going to get our chance. The global economy will be pulled into a garbage can. And yet there is optimism. We just need to wait maybe another 3 months, have all this tariff nonsense blow over, and then our turn will come.
Yeah, John, that's something that we continue to watch for is more the end of the year, for some more money to rotate into the sector. And I would agree with your outlook that there are not a whole lot of people chasing over themselves to buy any of these stocks. I do find that there are some people watching, but one of my takeaways from the recent shows that I've been to in January, the Cambridge House show, and then even at Brian Lundin's show down in New Orleans, is that there are a lot of precious metals companies. There are a lot of gold focused, still some silver focused, but a lot of the attention has been on more of these hot sectors. Blockchain was actually a big conversation at the Cambridge House show. And again, these battery metals continue to take a lot of investors' attention. Did you see that occurring a lot at PDAC as well?
Well, when you ask people what were the sort of topics that dominated, that they were saying, yeah, people were talking about battery materials, and even on in the critical metals session on Wednesday morning, which is usually the most horrible session at the PDAC, everybody's hung over from the big blowout on Tuesday night, but it was actually packed with people. People were there, and that's another thing. The party animalism that usually characterizes the evenings, it was also subdued. People were not celebrating anything. With regard to lithium, there is this concern that maybe the lithium supply problem has been solved. Chile has doubled its quotas. SQM hasn't really acted yet to increase its brine supply, but there's Argentine brine supply coming on stream. And the Australians, through groups like Pilbara Minerals, they will be bringing spodumene, bedrock sourced lithium on stream. There is still concern about cobalt, and of course everything boils down to the Congo. All these the high price in cobalt we have now because the supply is relatively fixed coming from the Congo, and we have the electric vehicle demand coming on top of all the sort of jet engine and military cobalt based demand. The concern is that the supply from Congo will not increase, which is perverse because Katanga Mining, its resources that it just published, it has 20 years of current total global supply, of which Congo provides about 50% right now, at 0.5% cobalt as a byproduct of 3% copper. Now, this is really high rock value ore. So conceivably, they could take care of the rest of the world's cobalt needs. And because of the high price at $39, I think it almost hit $40 a pound this week, there is thrifting going on. A lot of the battery technologies, a lot of work is underway to reduce the percentage of cobalt. Then, of course, there's the larger scale storage battery, sort of vanadium and all these things. So there's a lot of interest in how can we get this renewable energy stashed into a stored form when we have the wind blowing and the sun shining and have it available to feed the grid. Because one of the concerns about the big electric vehicle projections is the grid doesn't exist to actually sustain. And at the same time, we're seeing like an enormous amount of electricity being drained from the grid, from grids around the world by cryptocurrency mining. So, I mean, maybe the projections about electric vehicle uptake are a bit unrealistic, but at the same time, there's reason to look at all these battery technologies to see if we can have longer-term storage from intermittent sources so that we can accommodate the electricity needs that would come with the electrification of the car fleet.
Yeah, there's still a lot that needs to be figured out, I think, around this whole battery metals sector. And growth, I agree, is in the cards. But as you said, the infrastructure still needs to be built out. And we still need to find some consistent supply of these metals. It's in the ground. And some of these companies now taking a new look at old jurisdictions that were more dominant on a different metal, they are finding that, you know what, maybe they might be able to go back into these areas. Still, a lot of question marks around that. John, I'm going to have you back on the next segment. We're going to dive in a little bit more into the precious metals sector and what could be ahead. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camusso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camusso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamussoCPA.com. That's CamussoCPA.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. I am continuing on with my conversation with John Kaiser. And John, what I want to talk about, again, focuses on the resource sector and more on what's going on with the stocks. We haven't seen much M&A activity. There's been a few deals here and there over the past couple of years, but nobody, again, rushing into any of these deals, outbidding each other. It seems to be one company taking out another company for a nice premium, but usually that's a premium for a stock that's come down quite a bit from their highs. The sector argues that, you know what, we can really get the ball rolling, we can draw more investors in if we have some more M&A activity. What do you think? Do we see any? Do you see any on the forefront?
Well, we're definitely not seeing the aggressive competitive takeout of junior resource assets, you know, advanced projects, such as we saw in that whole period from 2006 until about 2012, 2013. Since then, the acquisitions have tended to be more opportunistic, as you describe it, companies that have hit the wall, that have run out of financing, that their stock price has declined. They're taken out at a fraction of their peak. And this is consistent with the attitudes of the bigger producers. They're all telling this story to their shareholders that, yeah, we're making a ton of money. The metal prices we have right now are really good. We got rid of all these bad assets that we had acquired when we thought gold was going to 1900. Was that going to stay at 1900 before crashing back to 1100? It's now around 1300, which is great for our core quality assets. We've been unloading the marginal assets into juniors, and that's an interesting thing. That the kind of takeover that we're seeing is like projects being spun out into these various Frank Giustra entities, where they acquire the Los Filos project, even the one that Canplatz had found. That project is being stuffed into a junior, and everybody's looking at, well, these things don't really, really work, but there is this preparation being done by the junior side, picking up these things that are optionality, sort of thinking we're going to see a stronger real gold price sometime in the not-too-distant future. The majors are getting rid of these smaller ones that don't work particularly well right now, and they themselves are not moving aggressively on what might be more robust assets, because, frankly, there aren't a huge number of robust assets, and until gold develops an uptrend. Now, this was one of the interesting sort of feedback things that I got from people who were stuck manning the booths, was that although they weren't seeing the regular investors that are usually there at these conferences, they were quite disappointed that sort of high net worth investors, you know, angel types, family office types, they were not there as they usually are. But there was a lot of interest from representatives of bigger companies. So even though the big companies are telling the story that this time we're not going to be fooled by the boom-bust cycle, we learned our lesson from our excesses from 2006 to 2013, they are doing lower-level homework. So it's, again, what we talked about in our first segment. There is this fear that the bust is coming again on the business cycle end of things and the market cycle end, but also this optimism that it doesn't have to happen. We just have to muddle through this chaos coming out from the White House in the United States, that's seeking to totally disrupt the global economy in some sort of crazy effort of making America great again by tearing down the whole world. If we can just get beyond that, we're getting ready to act. And of course, for these companies that have acquired these sort of somewhat marginal producers, they are doing extra drilling, trying to find more resources. And this is another thing that's hanging over the market. Osisko Mining was sort of the poster child starting a couple years ago when they decided to rethink the Windfall District. They'll by the end of this year, they'll have spent $150 million on basically brute force drilling based on a geological rethink that says this is a misunderstood Timmins scale system. The market's waiting for a resource estimate. They're hoping to see several times the 1.5 million ounces that they already had from the 20 years of prior exploration. But more importantly, those 1.5 million ounces, that was 8 grams per ton. And you think, well, that's really, really good for underground mining. Yet a PEA done in 2014, it wasn't worth developing. So the market's also going to want to see something that in the new domain models they've come up with on these projects that, yes, it works at $1,300 gold. We not only do we have three times, four times as many ounces, but they are in the money. And the stock chart's telling us it's not happening. But part of that may be simply the delays involved with, like, processing 180,000 meters of core. Everything's taking longer. The labs have been backed up. So, again, we're in this kind of funny limbo, almost at an inflection point, but not sure that we're going to inflect up rather than fade away.
Yeah, that seems to be the concern for a lot of investors, and I think that also plays into the fact that we are in a pretty brutal five-year bear market, and that bounce in 2016 is almost looking like a dead cat bounce in terms of still being unable to reach some of those levels and the drastic sell-off that we had. John, maybe just another quick comment talking about optionality. Are you leaning towards that when you hear companies say this is an optionality play? If gold gets up to 1,400, 1,500, then this is worth a lot more. I find that we hear that almost too much in this industry.
There aren't really that many projects that clearly benefit. The one I follow that's my top gold optionality pick is Midas Gold Corp with its Stibnite project in Idaho. And, you know, they've got about 4 million ounces slated for production over an 11-year mine life. But when you look at the scale of everything there and what's not included in the mining plan, of course, the whole thing there is to get a mining plan through approved and this into production. And once it's in production, that messed up valley gets reclaimed. Lots of good things happen. Mining does good things rather than bad things as it did in the prior 50 years. You will be able to expand production or at least extend it well beyond 11 years. $1,300 gold, it's kind of interesting, pretty good. But at $1,600 gold, it's a no-brainer. But there aren't that many of these projects out there to look at. And the ones that are these rethinks, for example, the Windfall District, I mean, that's controlled by a very powerful group and has Bay Street backing. But there's been other projects such as, say East Main, which a couple of years ago, a disgruntled group kicked out Don Robinson and Kathy Butella and took it over and spent a lot more money doing it so-called properly, and yet the stock is cheaper.
All right. Interesting comments there, John. I appreciate the recap that you provided us, plus, hey, some of those insights into if we do start to see some M&A activity.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Bitcoin is losing crypto market share to other digital currencies. Bitcoin's astronomical rise has led to the creation of numerous competitors like Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin, which have also seen massive gains in value. According to Quartz, Bitcoin made up 85% of the crypto market 1 year ago, and today it has fallen to 36%. Remember, the only way to win in the casino is to take chips off the table. Call Miles Franklin at 866-485-4346 and let us show you how to quickly turn your Bitcoin into the 5,000-year-old safety of precious metals. Miles Franklin can quickly convert your Bitcoin to precious metals with one phone call at 866-485-4346. That's Miles Franklin celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Fast, easy, safe, and convert your Bitcoin into gold with one phone call.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report and continuing more of a recap on the PDAC conference, I have David Erfley on the line with me. He is the editor of the Junior Miner Junkie newsletter. Again, I can't say this enough. I really do appreciate David's newsletter, especially for, really only for, all those people who are invested in junior resource companies. David, you spent all your time at PDAC and around at some of the events. You do know a lot of people at these shows. You spend a lot of time chatting with them. First and foremost, we've already gotten John Kaiser's recap of the show. What's your recap, please?
Yeah, thanks, Corey, for having me on again. I'm a bit wiped because I just got back yesterday. But like last year, we had a lot of optimism. We had a lot of excitement. We had a lot of money that wanted to make a lot of deals. And we had some really high-profile deals made and announced while at the conference. But this year, it was like the exact opposite of that. We had a very subdued crowd. People like waiting for the next shoe to drop almost, you know, they've got some money, but they're not willing to spend it yet, but also they're not really selling what they have either. You know, they're just kind of in wait and see mode. I talked to, a lot of CEOs of companies with really good projects, and they're basically saying the same thing on the deal side. You know, they're saying that, sure, the majors are still interested, but they're not making very good offers and they're kind of in wait and see mode as well. You know, we all know that that eventually this M&A is going to have to heat up here eventually, because, you know, they got to replace these high grade ounces on the books, and they need to keep producing high grade ounces, and they're dwindling, and they've already got a bunch of low grade ounces on the books that aren't economical. So I think maybe what it's going to take is maybe just one of these majors getting antsy and doing a big deal, and maybe that'll kick it off. But I just don't know when. Nobody else does either.
Yeah, I find it interesting that you use the term subdued, because that's what I've heard from pretty much everybody that I've talked to now. I know that you can watch some other interviews online of people that are more excited, but I do appreciate the honesty, I think, that we get from our audience. And talking about deals, this also follows up on what I talked with John Kaiser about. There seems to be people with money watching and companies with money going about their own business, but nobody's tripping over themselves trying to get in, or I guess for that matter, get out of anything, are they?
No, exactly. That's exactly right. I ran into John at the conference. I didn't really get a chance to talk to him very much, but like I said, just no real excitement. The high profile investors that I talked to, you know, there's like last year they had all these deals that they were getting into and they were really excited, and this time, not really, not very much. Everybody's in wait and see mode here, I think.
So, David, considering how the gold price has held up, again, it saved itself from dropping below 1,300. And even this week, a little bit of volatility, but really nothing to write home about. The focus still seems to be on U.S. equity markets, I believe even bonds, and some other sectors, not the precious metals. What we are continuing to see, though, is gold reacting to what the dollar does and really nothing else. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's that is the case. But today, something very interesting. I mean, we had a knock 'em out of the park non-farm payrolls report this morning. I mean, like 331,000 jobs, and wage growth was subdued a little bit, and the market, you know, stock market has taken off, but gold did not get hit really hard. A number like that, you would think, because it's pretty much a given that they're gonna raise rates. And on March 21st, and after Powell's testimony last week, when he was talking real bullish talking real hawkish, I mean, and the gold market really reacted, and all the miners were sold, the miner sector was sold really hard, and you would think a non-farm payrolls report like this would really hit gold, but it hasn't, and the miners, even though gold is up, they're doing nothing. They're flat. And the volume is really low. So is that a sign of maybe they're sold out here? I don't know. You know, it's the sector has been so herky jerky lately. It's been impossible to short term forecast.
It really has been. And it's been, again, just a boring range bound move, especially when you look at GDX for well over a year now. Do you think that everyone's just waiting for a news event, maybe something that shakes the markets, even something that might drive the U.S. equity markets more so than we've seen recently, even on the back of this non-farms payroll, to actually get people caring about the precious metals? Because right now, hey, there is still some interest in resources. It just seems to be in base metals, energy
right.
metals, all of those, not the precious metals.
Right. Well, you see, copper has been coming off here also. But yeah, you're right. It just seems like people are waiting. They're just waiting for something to. We need a catalyst. And like I said, it's so hard to short term forecast it, which puts people in a wait and see mode. You know, they don't want to buy anything. They don't want to sell anything. They just want to wait and see what happens.
So, David, what are you doing with your trades? I follow along closely for those people that listen in that don't subscribe to David's newsletter. Can you give us a little insights on what your strategy has been over the past couple months and most likely the next few months moving forward?
Sure, absolutely. I've got a 10% position now in my junior miner portfolio, and I'm very happy with everything I own, and I'm not buying anything right here. I'm not looking to buy anything right here. Sure, I'm still looking at companies, and I still have a watch list, and I have some things maybe that I might like to buy if it came down to a certain price, but I'm just happy to sit here and wait. The things that I already own are undervalued, and the things that I want to own are becoming even more undervalued. So I'm happy to just sit with that 10% cash position right here. I don't want to buy anything before that Fed meeting and before the end of Q1 here. And I think maybe I'll just reassess once we get into Q2.
Hey, David, sounds like you're part of the problem. You're buying into this issue that everybody else is just sitting and waiting, and you're doing the same thing. Hey, I don't blame you for that matter. You did mention the Fed meeting. Maybe that'll be a catalyst. Maybe that will put another bottom in gold and provide a launching pad. What do you think the odds are there?
Yeah, maybe. That's a very valid point. That just might happen because, I mean, when did this bull market in the miners start? When the Fed raised rates for the first time in 8 years, that's when it started. So, you know, interest rates are bullish for the gold sector, but the anticipation of interest rates are not. it's just the way it is. And, we're making higher lows and we're building a huge, almost a 5-year base now in gold and the miners. And, even though gold looks like it's about to break out, the miners are not complying. So it just puts a big, huge cloud of confusion over everything, doesn't it? And it just gives us all a wait and see approach. And like, I don't want to do this, but I don't want to do that. So I just won't do anything.
Hey, understandably so, after how bad that bear market was, and quite frankly, 2016, a lot of people still got burned trying to chase these stocks on the way up, and then the pullback, we haven't really seen another appreciation, especially in terms of the stocks. In all fairness, interest rates, it comes down to real interest rates, and we are seeing inflation continue its steady rise, but hey, so are actual interest rates, so it's all kind of a hand-in-hand, I guess, confusing market that we're dealing with. Yes, gold continues to outperform the other precious metals and the precious metal stocks, but what we need is the stocks to start leading the way, and I continue to look at the majors for some sort of leadership. Doc and I even went over a number of majors charts on a daily editorial during the week, and besides Newmont, we're again seeing these majors test out their pullbacks in 2016 December. Continues to be a problem, but hey, David, great having you on the show. Everybody, again, go check out David's newsletter, Junior Miner Junkie. I'll also post a link below. David, have a great rest of your weekend. Everybody, stick around. I'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX, that's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. We are going to move a little bit away from the metal sector and some of the PDAC recaps and chat more about some news stories that were, well, in the headlines this week and last week dealing with the tariffs. I have Chris Temple on the line with me. Chris is the founder and editor of the National Investor and joins me pretty much on a daily basis to cover what's going on in the markets from a, well, market move perspective and a big picture. Chris, you and I even chatted about how the tariffs might play out, what the strategies are behind these tariffs in a daily editorial on Wednesday. But what I want to talk about here is how tariffs impact the markets. We saw when the tariffs were first announced some shakiness in the markets, and then on Friday, where we heard that Canada and Mexico will be spared, that lined up perfectly with a very good jobs number. The markets benefited from that. What do you think, from a broad sense, at least initially, when tariffs come into play, are they net negative or net positive for the markets in your eyes?
I don't know that they're either, Corey. I do think that there were some signs before we had the broad meld-up in almost everything pretty much on Friday in the markets. I think that there were some glimmers of concern because, as I've said to my audience and as you and I have said in a couple different discussions on this subject, the risk is that if a full-blown trade war is really going to develop, the global economy could not for very long weather that without taking what in the recent past has been a halfway respectable period of synchronized or fairly closely synchronized global growth and turning it right back down into fears of recession and renewed deflation. So, you know, I don't like the fact that copper has been unable to make new highs and break out. It's kind of bogged down technically of late. Energy prices have had their big run. We had oil for a while threatening $70 a barrel. More recently, we've been back down. And were it not for the overall bullish sentiment in the markets Friday, we may very well have seen it break 60, which it nearly did on Thursday, and probably still will sometime in the near future, in my opinion. So I think that the markets are going to watch this closely. I think that there are some cooler heads out there that recognize, as you and I discussed early on, that this is nothing but a bargaining tactic. You know, this is Donald Trump with his sharp New York elbows in the way he negotiates. And in the end, I don't think he is going to try necessarily and plunge us into a trade war. Could he do it unintentionally? Of course he could, if things get out of hand and everybody decides to dig in their heels. But I don't know that we're going there necessarily. And I think that it's more of a sideshow in the markets to the broader issues of central bank monetary policy and just how much oomph economies really have. And more to the point, can the U.S. market finish retracing the sharp correction that we had several weeks back and try and break out to new highs?
That's what a lot of people are looking at. But you even mentioned the central banks there. Do trade wars in your eyes impact the way that central banks issue and take care of their monetary policy? I know with huge question marks as in, are we even going to get in trade wars? But does that throw central banks off course?
It could. Perhaps your bank governor overreacted when he decided not to raise short-term interest rates recently and said that the reason he's doing it was because of worries about how a trade war would harm economic growth. I think that especially with President Trump deciding to exempt for now at least Canada and Mexico, that he overreacted. But to be sure, if this is something that's going to go on for a while, yeah, it will end up factoring into central banks' decision-making processes. Contrary to what the Bank of Canada did, both the Bank of Japan and this week, toward the end of the week, the European Central Bank's Mario Draghi continued on their slower than the U.S. granted, but on their respective courses to start to unwind some of their stimulus of their own respective economies and markets. So they certainly didn't react, at least not yet, to the a trade war, which really has hardly even started yet.
That's very true. So, Chris, back to the markets and a quick comment on the composition of the markets. In the U.S. markets can really be driven by some major players, and these major players are factors both domestically and internationally. Sometimes you can argue that internationally they are bigger players, and that's where a lot of some of their revenues come from. How, if we do see more tariffs put into play, do you think that that does impact these large market movers, just these individual massive stocks?
Well, it depends on what big players we're talking about. I mean, it's kind of an open-ended question. You know, if you're talking about the automakers, yeah, the big automakers are going to face rising costs because of the higher costs for steel and aluminum, and that's already on top of them starting to roll over. I mean, one of the worst groups to look at fundamentally right now arguably are the car makers, because especially here in the U.S., when we had big spurts in sales late last year following Hurricane Harvey and the Texas and Gulf area, and then Hurricane Irma here that trashed, I don't know what the number was, but lots of cars that got totaled because of the weather, and the car makers had that brief spurt of sales. Now that's gone, and if on top of that there's going to be increased costs, they're going to be hurting. I'm one of those who, and I said this the other day when you and I spoke, Corey, that believes that the president has some moral and political high ground and justification for what he did, but economically it's too little too late. There are much bigger core reasons why we have the trade imbalances we do to begin with. And this move to impose these tariffs on steel and aluminum, I think in the end will, as some of the critics have claimed, hurt more people than they help.
Okay, Chris, one final comment. And you alluded to this on our Friday editorial, that you think trade wars could result in more deflation rather than inflation. A lot of people have been saying that when you put in tariffs, something like that, then it just increases the average individual's cost for products because, well, it's costing manufacturers and producers more money to bring in raw materials. Where do you stand? Can you explain your point on this one, please?
Well, sure, because whether it comes from a tariff or whether it comes from short supplies that causes prices to go up, whatever, rising costs are rising costs. And yes, initially they may translate somehow or other into higher inflation because obviously by definition, steel costs more, aluminum costs more, and so forth. But it's not going to take much of that to start crimping demand. When you crimp demand, you're going to be back to where some of these metals still are in oversupply, and you're going to start to put pressure on demand, and therefore that's going to put renewed pressure on prices. If demand is weakening, that's going to gut what's left of the profit margins for the producers of these things. And in the end, what might be a brief period where the narrative is inflation because of these tariffs, you will unquestionably, before too terribly long, go to where these things all result in weaker demand, weaker profits, and renewed fears of recession and deflation. Let's not forget, and one of the missing ingredients of this whole discussion, hasn't China in the recent past shut down a lot of its manufacturing capacity for steel and for aluminum and its copper smelters? Have they done this because they're trying to short circuit the case for these tariffs? Or is rolling over demand, especially in China itself, and continuing oversupply in some of these areas so much that they see what's coming already themselves? The excuse is that they're trying to shut down antiquated plants to reduce their pollution problems over there. And I know that's part of it. But, you know, I think that, as with everything, these things are not very well thought out. And I think that there are bigger underlying problems than what these tariffs are going to address, Corey.
Okay. Interesting comments there, Chris, because I know a lot of people have been, again, saying that this will lead to inflation, but as you're saying, it might only be a quick uptick in inflation. It's interesting to see how all these tariffs are going to play out. Again, it seems like more of a negotiating, bargaining tool for Trump right now, especially when it comes to NAFTA, but we should get some more clarity on that in the upcoming few weeks as they all go back to the table. Everything I've read from Canada's perspective is that they're not happy with the way negotiations have gone. It sounds like the U.S. isn't happy with the way negotiations have gone, but the fact of the matter is the U.S. is the big dog in that discussion, and Trump taking this stance, I think, puts both those countries kind of on their back foot. Everybody, I hope you enjoyed the first hour of the KE Report weekend show. I'm going to turn it over to Al for the second hour. Chris, thanks for your time and have a great weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Would it be okay if you had two paychecks instead of one? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to get an extra paycheck every month, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.